Welcome to the Monster Club.
An honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans.
Fair warning, you may not have seen this movie. We have... Spoilers Ho! I'm Jethel.
And I'm Tark.
All right, so this week, or I should say last night, we viewed X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah.
All right, so initial thought. First off, I'll say we're going to do a non-spoiler review first.
Uh-huh.
And then the second half, we'll start talking about the storyline and if we thought anything was wrong with it or whatever, okay?
Yeah, so okay, don't listen to the second part if you haven't seen the movie.
Oh, we will put on a very prominent spoiler alert thing before we start talking about the story. So, what did you think of the new younger cast?
No, I like the new younger cast a lot. I like, you know, I mean, we've seen some of them already in previous films, in the two previous films for this timeline thing.
Right, but this is the first time they were really put out prominent, though. What about, Cody Smith-McGee, who did Nightcrawler. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Nightcrawler when I was a kid, so I'm always happy to see him pop up again.
Mm-hmm. I think he did just as good of a job as Alan Cumming did.
Mm.
Sophie Turner's first turn as Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Not bad. I think she did fine.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely, put through her paces on Game of Thrones, so she's definitely got the whole acting thing down, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, we have Ty Sheridan as Cyclops.
He was unremarkable, but, you know, okay.
Yeah, well, Cyclops himself is unremarkable.
He's a bit of a straight man, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a straight man of the group. Of course, being younger and not as jaded as, let's say, the portrayal by James Marsden from the earlier movies. Of course, he was kind of dull, but he was supposed to be dull. But at least he didn't have to play up douchebag. Because, let's face it, older Cyclops, kind of a douche.
Yeah.
I think he did fine. Unfortunately, like I said, he is centered on a character that's, well, kind of dull.
Mm-hmm.
James McAvoy is Professor X. Now, of course, this is not his first time doing Professor X.
No.
But what do you think of the job he's done?
Well, you can only compare him to Patrick, right, mm-hmm. with Patrick Stewart. And I think it's, you know, I mean, he's an excellent actor. I think he's as good. Definitely. I mean, it seems like Professor X to me. He doesn't, you know, he plays it pretty much as we'd expect. Mm-hmm. He hasn't done anything, you know, he hasn't colored way outside the lines or anything, and it's perfectly believable.
Between the two, I'm not saying he did a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying I prefer Patrick Stewart.
Well, maybe he'll get better with age or something, but I don't know.
Well, of course, Stewart's too old to go back into the 80s to do the thing. He could not pull off young Xavier unless they did, you know, a Benjamin Button thing on him, you know, where they computer altered his his head. McAvoy bald? He doesn't have the head to be bald.
Yeah, I thought it looked perfectly fine. I'm glad that they finally worked it in, you know, and they gave a reason for it to have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me wonder, how did the original, you know, how did Stewart's Professor X go bald?
He always was.
Really, always?
They never gave an explanation why. And honestly, I don't think the X-Men comic ever gave an explanation why he was bald. He was just bald.
Mm. Well, I thought it was cool, nonetheless.
Yeah, it was fine. Now, like I said, I don't disapprove of his portrayal. I just prefer Stewart's better. All in all, thought it was a good movie.
One character that my buddy that I went to go see it with was really looking forward to seeing on the big screen was Psylocke.
Yeah, it was kind of, well, you know what, we're not going to go into the spoilers just yet. But as Psylocke, I thought she did fine. That was, Olivia Munn?
Yeah.
I think she did fine as Psylocke. We'll get into the details in just a few minutes.
She had the right look, and she,
definitely. And they did her costume correctly.
Yeah.
That was Psylocke's costume.
But I suppose since, you know, she was one of the side characters, I guess they couldn't go into, you know, like backstory or anything. I don't know. I still don't know anything about the character.
There was far too much going on to go into any kind of backstory, except for, you know, Apocalypse, of course, because, well, he was the central focus of the movie, so they kind of had to. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else can we say non-spoilery? I liked it.
Lots of action. There were no, you know, it didn't drag anywhere as far as I can remember. It kept up the pace, and you were always, you know, it always felt like the momentum was going pretty well through the whole movie. It was a great popcorn muncher.
Yeah, I would call it definitely a popcorn muncher. It was a good action flick, good adventure. All right. I don't think we can say anything else spoilery, so non-spoilery, I should say. So going forward, spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Okay, why doesn't Angel get any love?
he was one of my favorites from the original comic, from the old, you know, the 90s
they
comic.
They had the opportunity to correct mistakes made in the original run of the movies.
Uh-huh.
Angel was one of the original X-Men.
Yeah.
So was Bobby Drake, the Iceman. They had the opportunity to fix that, and they didn't take it.
Okay, here's the thing, though. Okay, Bobby's already been seen, you know, and he was represented as one of the younger kids when the central cast, the central crew, what we would consider to be the upperclassmen or the adult X-Men, were around during Stewart's run, right? Mm. So he's there, but, you know, I think they kind of have to take a look at the whole IP, the whole intellectual property, and say, you know, okay, we have all these interesting character concepts. Who can we plug in where to make an interesting story? The responsibility of the filmmakers is not to match it up perfectly with what happened in the comics. This is a completely different alternate take on the story. Right. So it doesn't even have to match up. There was a little timeline fudging between the two different timelines, actually, because in the previous timeline during Stewart's run as Professor X, Jubilee was represented as someone significantly younger than Cyclops and Jean Grey. You know, they were teachers there when she was a student. And then now we see, you know,
she's still young.
But she's about the same age. She's a teenager alongside them, you know? So it's, huh? You know, so that doesn't make sense right there. And there were a couple other little flips that I read about that
Right, but what they could have done to make Angel's role, I think, a little more tragic was have him be an X-Man. Because he was there at the beginning, you know, according to the comics, and have Apocalypse steal him away from Xavier. I think that would have been a little more truer to the original comics, giving him more of a,
I don't know. I think
sympathetic.
I think focusing on Magneto's fall from grace, you know, fall from what he had obtained as far as trying to live a good life and not cause anybody harm.
Oh, and that's fine. I didn't say we should take that away. I'm just saying I would have handled Angel better and not just make him a cage fighter.
They probably had to make that judgment call and say, okay, we'll sticking more tragic story in here, you know, with having somebody ripped away from the X-Men, one of the students, is that going to distract, take the focus off of this other thing that we're doing over here? Because I think Magneto is supposed to be, you know, the big deal on the Apocalypse side of things.
Yeah.
You know, he is the central focus of what's going on over there. And if they're all up in a tizzy about one of their own being taken by Apocalypse, they're going to find out way too quick about Apocalypse, because it isn't until Xavier searches out Magneto with his mind that they discover what's going on.
All right.
So I just don't think that would have worked. And I don't think the films have any sort of need or responsibility to stick to, you know, the way the story was originally in the comics. That's not, you know, it's just supposed to be a good film based on the characters of this universe. Not,
right.
You know.
Okay, now you mentioned Jubilee.
Yeah. Yeah, she was one of my favorites from the...
She was in the previews... they made a big deal out of showing her in promotional material and stuff like that, and then completely blew her off.
Yeah, she wasn't in as much as I hoped.
Didn't even name her by name in the movie.
Well, you saw her in a like a dossier or something. You saw,
right, and you knew who she was because she looked exactly like she did in the comics.
It spelled out her name, Jubilation Lee or something. I can't remember where I saw it in the movie. But
you know, it just, I was looking forward to seeing, even though she is a worthless mutant. I mean, seriously, her powers are
She
shoots fireworks from her fingers.
Yeah, I can imagine
she's a distraction.
She's
a distraction. She's not powerful at all. She's not even an alpha level mutant.
Well, imagine, you know, how distracting that would be if your friends needed, you know, to distract the enemies and you launch fireworks in
their
face.
She's only slightly less useless than Dazzler.
But didn't Dazzler just do the same thing?
Pretty much, but with just light instead of fireworks.
So sound, just like, ooh.
Right, I mean, Jubilee could at least, like, burn you a little bit with pyrotechnics.
Oh, really?
But just a little bit, though, you know, kind of like wrestlers coming out to their pyro going off in their face like it did to The Undertaker a few years back. But
don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
But anyway, yeah, including her in promotional materials, then just completely dropping the ball on her. I was disappointed.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you said, she's, you know, I mean, in the 1990s cartoon that we all enjoyed,
and
I noticed they did, I got a little thrill when I noticed that during the Fox logo at the beginning of the film, they played a little bit of the main tune at the very end of the Fox fanfare. Yeah, I thought that was cool. But, yeah, I mean, if she doesn't have significant powers and she's just, a kid, a young teenager at the time, then, you know, there's no reason to pull her into the main thing. I would have to say, you know, and he continues to be my favorite character from the X-Men movies, especially from this new run, is Quicksilver.
Yes. They do such a good job with him.
He is so much better than the token appearance in the Avengers.
The Quicksilver in the Avengers was a joke. That was just not handled well at all.
I really wish they would have. I mean, it's kind of weird. They've explicitly made it impossible now for the two franchises to cross over at all.
Right, because Quicksilver in the Avengers universe is dead.
Yeah, and he's a completely different person. He's from, Europe instead of an American kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Stupid. So, you know, and there's no sign of, well, there is a sister there in the X-Men franchise, but we never see her on camera. She's just mentioned and called to off camera in the previous film, I think. But, there's no mention of any Scarlet Witch or anything like that. But I love Quicksilver in the X-Men franchise.
Oh, yeah.
I love the music he listens to.
Mm-hmm.
I love the goggles he puts on and the effort they made for that whole, you know, mansion explosion sequence. That I was just like, yes, yes, yes. And I just loved
it was fantastic. It really was.
Doing his thing for like a solid 5 minutes, rescuing everybody in the mansion.
Well, not everybody.
Almost everybody.
Unfortunately, Havoc got caught up in the explosion just as Quicksilver showed up. So it was too late for him.
Yeah, he was
Well, let's talk about the fact that in order to escape Stryker's base, they had a little help.
Yes, they did. I love that cameo.
But why the hell is he being kept in? You know, they go into the room because they say, look, this is the generator room. Why the fuck is he in the generator room?
I don't know. Maybe
that makes no sense.
Maybe the cage. The cage locks were supposed to be electromagnetically powered, and they had to make sure that there was very little chance that his cage would lose power.
Perhaps that room wasn't the main generator; it was the generator for him.
Who knows? Maybe.
They didn't elaborate, but you know, they're like, "There's someone in there," and something wild. And I lean over to Liz, because, you know, it was rumored that Wolverine was going to be in the movie. He's like, oh, it's Wolverine. And then Jean Grey's like, it's like humanity's been stripped from him. He's an animal. I just start pounding on Elkman's chest. It's Weapon X! It's Weapon X!
So, at some point after the conclusion of Days of Future Past, I'm assuming that they just skip over that bit in this timeline, the part where he's captured by Stryker?
Well,
or do they show that?
Days of Future Past, boom, Wolverine from the 70s goes back to being Wolverine from the 70s. I doubt very much there's any memory left over of future events.
So we kind of see what happened to him originally happens again in this new timeline.
It's,
yes. He's captured by Stryker with, you know, at a point in his life when he has bone claws.
Right.
And then
infused
they
fused with the adamantium and
uh-huh.
Made into a weapon. He's made into a inhuman killing machine.
Speaking of Wolverine, I'm assuming you watched the post-credits scene. What was
yes.
that about exactly?
Well, the rumor is the next movie will see the appearance of X-23, which is Wolverine's clone. Who is female.
A female Wolverine.
A female Wolverine. She only has two claws. But she's Wolverine in mannerisms and just about every respect, except she's a woman.
Okay.
Supposed to be short and very fierce, just like Wolverine's supposed to be. It's actually rumored that Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, she plays Arya Stark.
Mm-hmm.
It's been rumored that she's in talks to play X-23, and I think she would do a great job.
It seems to me like it would be a very physically demanding role, so her stuff on Game of Thrones would really help out with that.
Yeah.
With all the training she's had to do.
And then, you know, with Arya and Sansa Stark being in the same movie, you know, someone's going to die. Mm-hmm. Possibly someone you don't want to die. So,
so
it's the curse of
the
Game of Thrones.
What was the corporation?
Essex?
Yeah, it linked me to an article on Sinister.
Oh, Mr. Sinister.
Yeah, somehow he's associated with that.
Oh, okay. He might be the main villain in the next movie then.
Or maybe the next Wolverine movie specifically. Mm. Because I've heard that he's going to do one more cameo in another movie and one more Wolverine movie, and then Hugh Jackman says he's done.
Right.
Yeah, which would be a huge shame because I can't imagine anybody else playing him now. I just can't. Can you?
I agree. He has made that role iconic for himself.
He just is.
You know,
he is Wolverine. I can't imagine any. I mean, if they tried to get anybody else in that role, I think fans would just stick their noses up at him. Unless he ended up being as lucky as a casting choice as Hugh Jackman. Because holy shit, that guy is just awesome at that role.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
He was born to play that part. Okay, so I vaguely understand what the post-credit scene was. So that was fun, but I was a little frustrated that I didn't understand what it was.
What's that now?
The post-credit.
Oh, the vial, scene, right?
The company.
The vial of Wolverine's blood.
Yeah. And
so yeah, X-23, and of course we all know that some of it actually got involved in the creation of Deadpool.
Really?
Yeah, if you watch Deadpool, when they're injecting him with the serum, there's little red specks in there.
Uh-huh.
That's Wolverine's blood. That's how he gets his healing factor.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. Okay, and is it the same for the... I mean, I know that's what they did with X-Men, or Wolverine Origins, okay? But I can't
Wolverine Oranges?
Oranges. Origins.
That's one hell of an orange! I keep eating this orange, but it keeps healing.
Wouldn't that be
it's
awesome?
It's a never-ending juice glass. So what else can we talk about for spoilers on Apocalypse? Honestly,
I love the villain. The villain was convincingly
frightening.
Just like, I mean, I know some people get kind of, he's too powerful. Well, yeah, that's what makes him so freaking scary.
So, yes, Apocalypse is the most powerful adversary in the Marvel Universe, and honestly, I was a little underwhelmed at the final battle. It's like, well, really? You're the most powerful fucking mutant in the world, and you just got taken down by a bunch of school kids?
Yeah, but the mistake he made was imbuing his four horsemen of the apocalypse, so to speak,
with two out of them
exceptionally, you know, powerful abilities. You know, he amplified them up, and then they turned on him. That is what his weakness is. He shouldn't give anybody extra powers. If he doesn't do that, then nobody will be powerful enough. Because I don't think without that, you know, amped up ability, they could have taken them on. No way.
No, probably not. But again, I was really expecting a gigantic battle, not just him in a friggin' force field bubble fending off their attacks. It was disappointing to me. It could have been better. Everything was good until the end.
Well, they probably should have gotten somebody else to play him then, other than Poe Dameron.
No. I'm not complaining about the person playing him. I think he did a fine job. Yeah. But it's the battle itself.
Needed to be more action-y,
more oomph. Honestly, I think the movie was too short for what this battle should have been. Although it was, you know, a long movie as it was. I think they crammed too much in.
Mm.
They crammed in too much. And some points do feel rushed.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, there were some things I think that could have been left out to make room for that big battle at the end. Because, let's face it, I went to X-Men Apocalypse not looking to see Magneto's backstory. What he's been doing for the last 10 years. I couldn't have cared less. I know it was put there to give the emotional oomph of, you know, why he turns on Apocalypse at the end. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, it could have been cut a bit to make more room for the final battle and make it more spectacular, because it disappointed me.
I disagree. I disagree. I think that if there's an opportunity to put more substance in a film versus more blow-ups and explosions and punches, I would go for substance every time. And they certainly delivered backstory.
Then it needs to be more balanced. Because, like, you want a movie like this to end on a high note, and it really wasn't.
I did see some you know, fisticuffs going on between Quicksilver and Apocalypse. Like, yeah. He has a different, they don't actually call him Apocalypse literally in the movie, but Ben Sabodner, at least that's how it's I'm reading it.
Yeah.
Let's see. I do have one question.
What's that?
What do you think? That Apocalypse meant when, you know, Jean Grey as the Phoenix is obliterating him, literally just vaporizing him. What do you think he says when what do you think he means when he says, all has been made clear?
Not a clue.
Perhaps that he, foresaw his death at the hand of Jean Grey or a force as powerful as her? And he was like, oh,
it's possible, I suppose. It's possible. That's another problem. There's another problem. Mm. Apocalypse was a foe of the X-Men for a long time. And you killed them off in one fucking movie.
That is one thing that I have a problem with. Okay?
He could have escaped.
And there's two possible things I could see. You know, one, I wish... You know, they would have kept the title of the movie Age of Apocalypse and made it to be where they have a bunch of, you know, time inserted into the movie, you know, like 5 months, you know, 5 years later, you know, that sort of thing. Allow for some, you know, some character development that way where you see.
Make it multiple parts.
Yeah.
Part one, part two, something like that, you know, but well, kill them off in one freaking movie?
Yeah. So. You know, it was either that, you know, make a long time happen, or he isn't dead.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, I mean, he was, you know, blown away into dust, but who knows what powers he had. Maybe he had the power to disintegrate into granules and reassemble elsewhere. Mm. You know, you never know.
Yeah. You never know. He could reassemble himself. Who knows?
somewhere else.
Might take some time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll just have to see, you know, as the movies continue. And bringing out Phoenix that early.
What do you mean that early? It was the end of the film.
Well, I don't mean that early in the single film. I mean, you know, they could have saved that for, you know, another movie.
Well,
I mean,
it's not like she's unleashed and can't go back. She unleashed it momentarily, and now she's tamped it down again. You know, now she's just Jean Grey again. So it's not like she's gone, you know, full meltdown yet. So, you know, it's not quite there yet. So there's still, you know.
Well, at
it's
least they didn't have her go Dark Phoenix right off the bat. Give her a few movies, and then do the Dark Phoenix saga.
One thing that I did really enjoy about. I do enjoy about the way they're doing this timeline is how you have all these, you know, some of the traditionally good characters on the bad side and the traditionally bad characters on the good side. You know, it's kind of blurred the lines and flipped, you know, the characters
around.
Most
of the Marvel,
I like that.
With a few exceptions, most of the Marvel characters have spent time on both sides.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that.
Magneto ran the school for a while.
In the Fox animated show, the good guys were always on the side of the good guys. There was no side flipping.
Because it was for kids.
Yeah.
Don't want to confuse the kids. Oh, by the way, did you realize who Angel's first opponent was? They got carried out on a stretcher?
Hang on a sec. Okay, they called him Fat Man. Was he the guy that can just repel any attack?
Yeah, that was the Blob.
Yeah.
Because I'm walking out of the theater, and I'm talking to Liz, and I'm like, wait a minute, how the fuck did Angel defeat the Blob? The Blob can absorb kinetic energy. You can't beat him to death.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not possible.
Done off screen. Maybe he picked the Blob up, and no, because then it would just, he'd absorb his own
kinetic
energy.
He absorbs
kinetic
energy. And the more you hit him, the stronger he gets.
We'll never know.
So how the fuck did he defeat the Blob? I don't think he could have. Anyway.
Well, maybe he scratched at him with his wing claw.
Okay.
I did enjoy seeing Angel with the metal wings. That was cool.
Yes, that was well done.
Because I had always known him with the metal wings, so the feathery
Archangel.
Wings didn't... Archangel, exactly. I do wish his skin had been a little bit blue.
Now, as I was saying before about the no love for Angel, we didn't see him die.
That's true.
He could show up later on.
Yeah.
We didn't actually see him die.
Who did we see die? Who was in the vertebrate when he... Was that Angel?
The what?
In the vertebrate, the planey...
Oh, wait, was that Angel?
I think he might have been
excited.
Shit,
that was Angel.
Yeah. So he might have died, but he has been imbued with a lot of metal stuff, you know?
Mm.
So who knows how tough he is? There's no saying that, you know, he absolutely died. But yeah, Psylocke, he was inside that thing when Psylocke jumped off the top of it.
That's right.
Escaped.
I forgot about that. Okay.
Whoops.
We will see. We will see. All right. X-Men Apocalypse. Go see it. Still in the theaters. We both enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It was a good time.
Welcome to the Monster Club.